again tonight. We're kicking off a brand new talk series called Man in the Mirror. And I can promise you there will be no Michael Jackson dance moves from me, which I know all of you are very disappointed about. But, man, we're really excited to start this series because, let's just be honest here, you can kind of fool a lot of things in your life. You can put on the right filters. You can all do that. But you cannot fool the man in the mirror. Like, when you look in that mirror, that pimple is there just as big as it ever was before. Okay, you cannot fool what's in the mirror. The mirror tells us something so accurately about ourselves. And what we're going to do throughout this series is we're going to begin to flip the mirror. And we're going to start to make every one of us take a look at ourselves and say, who am I really? Tonight, we're going to start it off. I need some help, actually. In fact, I actually enlisted one of my friends. Corey, can you come on up here? Yeah, can we give it up for Corey? I saw Corey spike on someone in volleyball just very blatantly. It was kind of funny, actually. Corey has agreed to lend us his cell phone, so if anybody needs his cell phone after this, you can have it. I'm just kidding. That's not happening. But so, Corey, what kind of phone do you have, man?
An iPhone.
Well, that's great, man. That's a great phone. Can we give it up for the iPhone? So Corey's going to stay up here for just a second, but you know, there was a day where your phone couldn't talk to you, okay? You may not remember this day. You may not have experienced this day. This is the day of dumb phones. Now we have smartphones. These are the days of dumb phones. I'm talking about the types of phones you could drop them from the top of the roof, and they aren't going to break. They might split apart. You might get their battery out, but these phones were fine. I mean, these were like tanks. They were like mini bricks. In fact, I had one of these all the way up until I was a junior in college. I mean, it was just awesome. But nowadays, we've got the smartphone, and nowadays, we don't even consider them smartphones. We just consider them phones, right? Like, anything else is just like, what? I don't even know what that is, right? But the thing about phones is because there's so much amazing stuff in this little phone, we have what's called lock screens, right? Almost every phone that we have has a lock screen. And every lock screen has a way that you can unlock the lock, right? And so for my phone, if I were to take my phone out, I could go ahead and as I would do it, there would be a number, digit, code that I could put in, and this would unlock my phone. And maybe you have to use one of these things. Maybe you have one of those things that goes in all the different directions. But here's what can inevitably happen is when you have a phone like this, maybe you forgot your combination. Maybe you haven't used it in a while. Maybe you have a different passcode. Maybe something happens, and you begin to actually put in the wrong code. And if you've ever done this, it'll like kind of give you this little wiggle if you mess it up. And it'll say, wrong password, try again. And then that's when the pressure starts to get in. Because you know that if you make a misstep with one of your fingers, that you could accidentally lock out your phone. And if you mess your password up or your code up enough times, you will actually get locked out indefinitely of your phone. And it's kind of an annoying process. It's kind of a process that is really difficult to deal with. It's frustrating. But there's this brilliant technology that started to arise in the iPhone 6 and even I think it was in the iPhone 5, but especially in the newer iPhones where you could literally just take your fingerprint and unlock your phone. In fact, Corey, would you mind just doing that for us? Would you mind just unlocking your phone with just your fingerprint? And with just touching the button, Corey is able to unlock his phone. Now, can you lock it back up for me? Thanks. Here's what I want you to know. If I come over here and if I try and unlock Corey's phone with my fingerprint, nothing works. I'm going to try it again. It's saying touch ID to enter passcode. My fingerprint does not get us in. And if I locked you out, I'm sorry. We can give it up for Corey. Can we give it up for Corey? And he rides off into the sunset. Here's the thing. The reason I couldn't unlock Corey's phone is because I'm not Corey. And his phone only responds to that one fingerprint, to his fingerprints. You may not know this, but you probably do. Fingerprints are completely unique, which means that I don't share fingerprints with Corey, and I don't share fingerprints with you, and you don't share them with me. We all have different fingerprints. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think there's so many cool features to the phone that I would be so mad if I couldn't unlock my phone. And I feel in the very same way when we talk about our identity, when we talk about who we really are, when we talk about our lives, when we talk about all the different things that life has to offer, I think so many of us, we come in and we try and unlock our phone using different passcodes, but we all get locked out. I think we want to have a purpose in this life. We want to feel like we know what we're doing. We want to feel like we know who we are. But most of the time, we get in there and we feel like we're missing it. What I would suggest to you tonight is that what you need to unlock the phone of your life is you need to know your identity. You need to know that if I know who I am, it can unlock all of these different things in my life that I never knew I could have without knowing who I am. And I think one of the biggest struggles that all of us have is trying to place our identity or who we are, our value, our self-worth, based on things that are temporary and that will never get you unlocking what you are made to unlock. I think some of us, we place our identity and our worth, we place it in our looks. Maybe some of us, we say, man, if I can just look a certain way, or if I can just be this good looking, or if I can have this unique aspect of my looks, then that's who I am. And that's where we place all of our identity, or maybe in all of our clothes or fashion. But the problem is that we've seen this happen so many times. The very best looking people in Hollywood and the very best people on earth, eventually they get old enough to where they're just not that good looking anymore. And in fact, if they try and fight it too hard, they start to look like plastic, you know, all different types of things. And we've all seen the people who think, like, you looked better without trying all that stuff. Like, your face is kind of like all disproportionately all over the place, right? They put their identity in their looks. There's some people, maybe you've done this. You say, my significance, my identity, it comes from my talents or my abilities. Maybe you're an incredible intellect, or maybe you're an incredible athlete, or maybe you're an incredible musician, and yet those things are very soft foundations to place your life on, because even the greatest athletes will only be athletes until they're about 40. The truth is, LeBron James, in about 20 years, he will not be a basketball player. LeBron James will be something else, and if his whole identity is in basketball, then he's missing it. Because LeBron James is way more than just basketball. And even the smartest minds, even the smartest people in the smartest fields, scientists from the 1700s that were considered the smartest people ever, they came up with some really stupid ideas. They came up with some things that today we would laugh at. And you know what? If their identity was in their intellect, they were going to be mocked hundreds of years later. Our talents and our abilities can't be this foundation of our significance in this world. For us, some of us, it's our sexuality. For some of us, it's our gender. We think, oh, because I'm this or because I'm that or because of my sexual preferences or things like that, that is my identity. And I would challenge all of you to say that your sexual identity is actually not a very full identity. If you're only going to be defined by the behaviors or the drives that you have inside of you, I would venture to say that you're missing out on the full identity that you were created with. So no matter who you are, however you place this in your world, we are not made for just partial identities or for false identities. And I think this is one of the great challenges of our time, is especially as high schoolers, especially as middle schoolers, is to really know, who am I? Why do I matter? Where do I fit? What is my place in this world? And so as we look at this, I want to help us uncover this. And I'll be honest with you, this is a really big passion of mine, because this is something that I have struggled with just about as much as anything in this life. In fact, for me, this is how this has taken shape. I have associated my significance or my value with my achievements. And so when I was playing baseball, it mattered to me if I was going to be the one that was the best on the team. Or it mattered to me if I was going to be the one that got this particular award. The things that I put in my closet now that I don't even care about, those things were going to define me. And it matters to me how I do in my job. And it matters to me all of my achievements. I've tied in, if I am this, then I will be significant. And it has been one of the greatest struggles of my life, because as we all know, sometimes you will achieve, but sometimes you're going to fail. And sometimes you're going to miss out. And so what happens is you begin to only do things that you know you'll succeed at. And so I've avoided failure in areas of my life because I didn't know who I was, because I didn't have it settled in my heart, because I wasn't able to unlock it with my identity. I really believe this. I believe there are things in this life that you are having access to, that you have access to, that if you don't know who you are, you'll never be able to have those benefits in your life. And tonight, I'm serious, because I love this idea, and I'm so passionate about it. I think some of you tonight can really come out of here with an understanding of who am I, and it'll change everything in your world. I think it'll change all of the dynamics of everything you do. And so I want to look at a portion of a letter that was written about 2,000 years ago by a guy named Paul. He was one of the early church fathers. And Paul is this guy who, in the middle of his life, had the most radical identity shift of any person who's ever been known to man. Paul, in one moment, changed his name. He changed his political beliefs. He changed his relationships, his friendships. Paul changed his religious beliefs. He changed everything about him, his ideology about the world, all in one moment. It all changed for Paul. In fact, his name used to be Saul. He used to be a guy who would persecute Christians. He used to be a guy who had great power and authority in the religious time of his religion. And so he was this person who was incredibly powerful, but then he encountered Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, I am going to ask you, I'm going to ask you to stop persecuting me and stop persecuting my church and stop persecuting the people I love. And instantly, Saul became Paul. And this radical transformation took place. And I actually believe this is the same transformation that God is asking of all of us. That when we come to know Jesus, that our lives before Jesus would look so drastically different than our lives after Jesus. That when we know Jesus, it should change everything about us. So Paul writes this letter to this group of people in a city called Ephesus. And if you have your Bible apps, we don't have any screens out for you. So if you have your Bible apps, it's really easy to download them. It's just a free Bible app on any smartphone or anything like that. Just unlock your phone. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. This is what Ephesians chapter 1 says in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So I want you to know he's starting this out by saying, look, there is a spiritual blessing that is available to you. That when you are in Christ, he uses this term, in Christ. He says, when you are in Christ, you have an identity that opens your world up to some things, to some benefits that you cannot have any other way. This is an opportunity for all of us. This is an opportunity. And here's how he clarifies. Here's how you can know that you're in Christ. He says it's because God chose you before the foundations of the world. And that's a crazy thought. That's a thought that should blow your mind a little bit, because before you were ever born, before these trees or the ground that we're standing on or the air that we're breathing ever existed, God literally chose you. God thought about you. He knew who you would be, and God chose you. And he said, that one is mine. I want him. I want her. God chose you before. And let me just tell you, when it comes to significance, when it comes to your identity, the most powerful essence of how valuable something is who it belongs to. I just saw this. This is crazy. There was a pair of shoes that Michael Jordan wore in the 1984 Olympics. He wore them for Team USA, and they were a pair of Converses, and they were his final pair of shoes that he wore before he went to the pros. And this week, those shoes sold for $190,000. And you thought your LeBrons were expensive, okay? $190,000 for a pair of shoes that were last worn in 1984. When you look at them, they're dirty, they're scratched up. And also, Converse hasn't been worn in the NBA in decades. Converse is an old school type of shoe, something that none of us would practically use today. And yet someone paid $190,000 for it. Why is that? Because it belonged to Michael Jordan. See, the value of something can be dictated by who it belongs to. And your value, your inherent value, it comes because you belong to Christ. It says you are in Christ Jesus. Your value skyrockets. In the same way that a guitar is way more valuable when Jimi Hendrix plays it than when I play it. Right? Nobody is paying anything more than $1.90 for my shoes. But for $190,000, you can buy MJ shoes, right? The value of something is determined by who owns it. When it is owned by someone of greatness, the value goes up. And when you became born again, you are given a gift to be given into God's identity. You are grafted into God's family. In fact, he goes on to say this. He says, in love, he's talking about God, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. It says this, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, if you want to know how you're in Christ, it's because you were born again. You were adopted into God's family. And when you are adopted into God's family, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father literally says, now that is my son, now that is my daughter. You are now a part of the family. And let me just tell you, when you are a part of the family, you have certain rights, you have certain privileges, you have certain perks that not everybody else gets. Yesterday, I had a quick turnaround between a meeting that I was going to, and so on my way was my parents' house. So I stopped home at my parents' house. They weren't there, and I grabbed some food. I just went through their kitchen. I just went through their fridge, and I just warmed up some stuff that I saw in there. It was a nice little peanut chicken dish. It was really good. Can I just tell you that if my parents came home and they saw me getting their food, there would be no, like, what are you doing in my house? It would just be like, oh, that's just my kid. Of course, he's hungry. He's always hungry, right? But if I went into some other random person's house and I'm just like digging through their cupboards and I'm just like going through their fridge, like they walk through the door like, excuse me, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, don't worry. I saw the tuna casserole in there. I'm going to heat that up, get that going. How many of you know I would be escorted out by the police about 5 minutes later, right, if I was still conscious, because they might have just knocked me out. There's a difference when you're in the family. When you're in the family, you have rights to certain things. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, you have been adopted into the family of Christ Jesus. And some of us got to understand this, that you, when you place your faith in Christ Jesus, you are adopted into a family, and you are loved more than you could ever understand. And because of that, there are benefits, there are blessings that you have. And he says, these are the blessings, these are the benefits. He says, you have redemption in Christ. It means that the areas of your life where you were dark and where you had messed up, God has actually redeemed those areas of your life for all of eternity. He's brought you back into right relationship with him. It says your sins are forgiven. It says those things in your life that you think you've done too many times and that you could never get forgiveness for and that you could never be right with God because of those things. It says that God has given you forgiveness through Jesus. It says he gives you grace. He gives you a grace for everything that you're going through, every single challenge you're in, every bit of obstacle that you face, every mountain that's in front of you, that when you have this grace, it enables you to do things that you could not do on your own strength. It says that it gives you an understanding of his will. It gives you an insight into his plan. For those of us who are confused and we say, I don't know what's next. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's ahead for me. God gives us an insight into his perfect and great will. He gives us something that is far beyond what we could ever know. These are the things that Jesus promised us. He promised us a life after death. These are all part of the things that come from being adopted. They're all part of the things that matter because you're in the family, because of who you are, because of who Christ made you to be. But this is my favorite one. This is the greatest benefit I think any of us could ever have, and it's this. It says, he goes on to say, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. Here's where I want you to hone in. It says, in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know, Paul actually goes on to say in a different letter, he says that the greatest blessing, the ultimate blessing in our lives is the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. You may not know this, but when you believed in Christ Jesus, when you placed your faith in him, in that moment, you gained the greatest friend, the greatest comforter, the greatest companion, the greatest teacher that the world will ever know, and his name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you in every single way, and the Holy Spirit allows you to go through this life, this complex and this fluid life, and he allows you to take steps of wisdom. He gives you power for things that you need in your life. This is the Holy Spirit that is with us. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is actually a promise of something that is to come. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee. When I was dating my wife, I did some like mean things, like not mean, but like it was kind of like, it was stupid, and she probably, like, hated it. But, like, when we were still dating, I would do this thing where, like, I would get down on a knee, and I would, like, fake like I was about to propose to her, and then I would, like, not say anything, and I would do that. It was, like, really stupid. Like, I remember one time at Paint Wars, I found this ring on the ground, and, like, I grabbed it, and I said, well, and just nothing, right? But can I just be honest? I was never, like, that mean because there were always obvious situations where it wasn't happening, if that makes sense. Like, we would be in the car, and I would get up on the middle of the dash and be, like, on a knee, right? Like, will you marry? No, right? Everybody knew. She knew. But there was a moment where I finally popped the question, and I finally said, hey, Kristen, will you marry me? And for some unknown reason, she said yes. And in that moment, what I did is I put a ring on her finger. And it was an engagement ring, and it cost me my left arm, but I was so worth it because she was worth it. This is a Robotronic arm, okay, just so you know. That's the official term. But it was a ring that I put on her finger. And we got married 4 months later. But in that four-month period when I put that ring on her finger, that ring represented something. It represented that, no, we're not married right now, but this is my promise to you. This is the guarantee of something that is to come. This ring represents that we will be married. And in the same way, when we received Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit came and he became the guarantee, the promise of what is to come. See, because the Holy Spirit gives us a chance to have a relationship, an active, vibrant relationship with the living God. And someday in eternity, we will have that very thing in a fuller measure. We'll have that thing where we're in perfect relationship with God, where we're in paradise, where we are doing everything that God has called us to do and being everything that God has called us to be. And here's what I could hope you would understand tonight as we talk about these benefits and these blessings is that, look, you have been called to have this. In fact, I really believe this, that identity unlocks inheritance, that this is your spiritual inheritance. And some of these things you may not even recognize your need for right now. I know I surely don't all the time, and don't call me Shirley. But I do know this, that all of us need to know that we are forgiven. All of us need to know that we don't have to walk in guilt and shame anymore, that we can be free. All of us need to know that we have been redeemed, that we have been paid for, that our sins and our destruction and our death, it has been paid for by Jesus. All of us need to know that we have grace that enables us to live a life that we couldn't live on our own. All of us need to know that there's an insight and a knowledge available to us, that we have the Holy Spirit with us day in and day out. All of us need to know that, and I really believe that identity unlocks inheritance. If you don't know who you are, you will never be able to walk in the fullness of what God has created you for. You know, there was a guy who was found dead a couple years ago. His name was Timothy Gray. And he was found in Evanston, Wyoming, under an overpass for a railroad. And the reason he died is because it was about 10 degrees outside, and he had just a thin jacket, nothing more. And so he actually froze to death. And when they found him under this overpass, they weren't sure if he was someone who lived there. They didn't know all the details, but there was a lot of homeless people who did live in that area. And so they found Timothy Gray there, and as they did the biopsy on him, as they discovered who he was, they realized that Timothy Gray was actually someone of import, because Timothy Gray stood to inherit a lot of money. In fact, he was a great-nephew of someone named Huguette Clark. Never seen someone named Huguette, but she was super rich, okay? And Huguette Clark was this heiress of this incredible copper mining business, and she was worth $300 million. And when she had died in 2011, Huguette Clark left an inheritance for Timothy Gray of $19 million. And yet Timothy Gray died under an overpass on 10 degrees on a 10-degree night because he didn't have a coat. Can I just tell you that if Timothy Gray had $19 million, he could have bought a coat that was made of all diamonds, and he could have wiped his butt with it. I mean, it just would have been like one of those things. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Don't tell your parents. Don't tell your parents. See, Timothy Gray had an inheritance of $19 million, and yet he froze to death because he didn't know who he was. He didn't know what was available to him. And I really believe spiritually that there are some of us here that are under this overpass in our lives. And we're living homeless, and we're living in a place where we are getting beat up, and we are getting destroyed by this earth and by this world and by all the problems we have. And what we don't realize is that there is an inheritance that can unlock everything for us. But we just have to know who we are. Man, I just wish that some of you could understand that your significance in this life doesn't come from who you're dating. That no guy and no girl will ever make you feel good enough, that no guy or no girl will ever give you the value that you deserve. The reason you have value is because you belong to Christ. And I just wish that some of you would understand that no achievement you could earn, no talent you have, no ability you have, no fame that you acquire could ever make you significant. That the only significance you will ever find is by knowing that you are a son or a daughter of Christ, of God. And tonight, as I preach to you as someone who has dealt with this so severely, I preach to you not as someone who is trying to impress you, or not as someone who's trying to deliver a great message, because I know this. I know that whether I preach the best message of my life, or whether I preach the worst message of my life, whether you cheer me out of this place, or whether you riot and jeer me out of this place, I know that I am a son. And that everything I do, whether I'm an employee, whether I'm a pastor, whether I'm a husband, whether I'm a father someday, whether I'm a leader, I do all of those things as a son. I do all of those things as someone who knows who he is. That's settled for me. And we could have a million people here, and I could be the most famous person ever, and they wouldn't change because I know I'm a son. And we could have one of you here, and I would be preaching to one of you, and I'd be spitting all over you, and it wouldn't change because I know I'm a son. And I would just wonder who here needs to know that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of God, and that who you are, it will change everything about you. That you can unlock this phone in your life, that you can unlock all these benefits in your life if you're just willing to accept that I don't need to let somebody treat me like that because I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I just wonder how many of us are missing out on who God made us to be because we just don't know. I just preached this pulpit out. I mean, I literally just preached the pulpit out. I'm saving that memory forever. I don't care what actually happened. That's how I'm remembering it. Guys, here's my heart for you. Do I want you to do things? Yeah. I want you to do great things. I want you to change the world. I really do. My hope is that someday that the people who are sitting right here in these chairs are the people that are making history, the people that are rewriting man, our entire history books. That's my hope for you guys. I hope you guys go on to do things that are unbelievable. Can I just tell you that I care more about who you are than what you do? That I care that you know who you are and that if you understand who you are, it'll change what you do. If you could say it this way, that your do comes from your who. I really believe this. I believe, man, this is a foundational message. Is this everything? No. I believe that God's called us to do good things. I really do. I think he's called us to serve people and to love people and to have faith that moves mountains and to do things that just change the world. I believe God's called us to do all of those things. But I believe this is the foundation. And in a future lesson in this talk series, I'm going to talk about, hey, how does this change what we do? But I want it to start here. Ultimately, here's how we know the value of something is how much someone's willing to pay for it. I could think this shirt's worth $8 million. I could. But if someone's only willing to pay $8 for it, it's worth $8. We can tell the value of something based on what someone will pay. I just want you to know this, that there might be some of you here tonight who say, you know what, I don't really know how valuable I am, and I want you to know that you are so valuable that Jesus paid the price of his life for you. You have to understand this, that Jesus didn't have to come. Nobody could make Jesus do a thing. When they were putting him up on that cross, when they were staring him down and surrounding him, he could have in one moment taken himself out of that equation. He could have put to death every single person that tried to take him down. But you know what Jesus did? He stared death in the face and he said, come get me. He said, I'm yours. And the reason why he did it is because of us who are sitting here. If you want to know how valuable you are, you got to know that there was not one person, not one king, not one warrior, not one battle, not one enemy, not one weapon that could ever take one drop of blood from Jesus, and yet Jesus shed his blood for you. That's some valuable blood that Jesus shed so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be made in right relationship with him. That is what Jesus is all about. If you want to know how valuable, you got to know how valuable you are to God. You got to know that Jesus paid a very, very big price for you. I'm just going to ask everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. You know, if I was trying to think about it, I was trying to think, you know, what is that, like, action step that I could give you guys tonight? Because I really believe this, that if you just hear things but you don't put them into practice, like, it's kind of just like a wasted moment, you know? And I was just trying to think, like, what are those things that I could tell you to do? But the truth is, I think some of us just need to evaluate our lives. Like, I just think some of us need to evaluate and say, hey, you know what? Am I living as if Christ didn't even die for me? You know, I really believe that what the Apostle Paul went through, where his whole life changed, I believe that that's what our lives could look like, where everything to us becomes a joyful experience, where no matter what we face in this life, we have a grace and a faith just to be able to accomplish whatever God calls us to do. And so maybe for you, I'm just going to ask you to hold up the spiritual mirror to yourself. Like, that's the action step. Like, to be honest with yourself, maybe to ask some opinions of people around you and say, hey, have I been finding my identity in something else? Have I been finding my value or significance in something that doesn't deserve to hold it? That's the action step. That's what I would ask you to do, is to think about your life and think about those areas where you're looking for someone's approval or where you're looking to be valuable, and so you'll do whatever it takes, but you got to know that you are so valuable just because God loves you. And I just kind of get this sense right now that there's some of you that just need to hear that, you know, you really, like, you're loved. You're loved. Like, maybe you don't ever hear that. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe someone's never told you. I want you to know that you are loved. Some of you guys just got to let that sink in. You are truly loved, and it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you grew up, doesn't matter the problems you've had that you've created for yourself, like, you're just loved. But you're loved enough for God to want to take you out of that mess. Hey, I want to just give an invitation tonight. Nobody's looking around, every head's bowed, eyes closed. Some of you, you didn't know coming in tonight how valuable you were, but the truth is, now you know, hey, Christ paid a price for me. But Jesus said this. He said, look, I paid that price for the sins of the entire world, but I will never force someone to accept my sacrifice. I will never force someone to come into a relationship with me, to make me the Lord of their life. That's how you gain eternal life. I mean, if you do that, I mean, that's how you come to know Jesus. That's how you spend eternity with him. But I will never force anyone to do that. And so tonight, Jesus is not forcing anyone to come into a relationship with him to gain this inheritance, but he is inviting. He is inviting. And if you would say, you know, honestly, like, I want to say yes to that invitation. I know that Jesus is God, that Jesus died for my sins. He rose again so I could be with him forever. Then we're going to pray a prayer together. And I just want you to pray from the depths of your heart. Believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he did what he said he did. And watch as God makes you a new person. Paramount, can you help me pray? No one prays alone. Say this. Say, Jesus, I need you. I know you love me so much that you died for me. And tonight, I ask for forgiveness. I make a commitment to follow you. I make you the Lord of my life. You call the shots now.